We've invited Darren and Mariah Creel to be with us in our service this morning. They'll be sharing with you a little bit about Hoovenet. We talk about Hoovenet a lot around here, and we're, of course, we've gone to Guatemala with them. They led us and as a team there a few years ago, and we're anticipating when we will be able to go back. And so we're working towards that end. But this morning, Darren and Mariah, we want to invite you to come and be a part of us, share with us. Darren's going to preach to us today, so I hope you brought your seat belts. You can put those on. But I want to invite you at this time to come. I think, are both of you coming? That is perfect. And we get the privilege of meeting the best part of the Creel family, and that is Ezra Gray. And so I'll let them do all of that kind of stuff, but we love you. Thank you for being with us today.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Good morning, guys. How are you doing today? Awesome, awesome. It is such a huge honor and blessing for us to be here, to be home with family here in this area. Like you said, Mariah is no stranger to you guys. And over the last couple years, hopefully we have grown in relationship as well. And I know that that's happened. And so it really is an honor and a blessing for us to be here this morning. I'm going to hand it over to Mariah. She's going to speak a little bit on what's happened over the last couple months since our last visit, and then over the summer, and then I'll kind of finish up with a little word.
Well, it's so good, as always, to be home, right? It's so good. And we are just so excited for you all to meet our little guy. He's a little tuckered out. He's having his morning nap. But he has been just the biggest blessing. And just goes with us wherever we go, does whatever we do. He is a true missionary baby. Amen. And it's just so evident that when God graces us to do things, he gives us the total grace. And you can see it all over him that he was made to do this. And it's been the best blessing. This summer has been the busiest, craziest, funnest, craziest summer of our life, season of our life. Not only did we have a baby, but just a month and a half after, we received 5 interns of young people that came and joined us on the mission field for 2 months. Out of their own decision, out of their own heart, they made the decision and said, we want to partner with you. We want to put ourselves under you, learn from you, serve what God is doing. And it was nothing short of amazing. They themselves grew infinitely, incredibly. And they touched so many lives, not only the lives of the people there in, we served in Guatemala and Costa Rica this year, but every team that came down was just so touched by them. And the moment they left, they were different. And we know that God ignited a fire in us for discipleship. It's a huge part of what we're called to do here on this earth. In building the kingdom of God, but pouring into the lives of others, even one person, is worth it. It's worth it. It's what we're called to do. And so it was such an honor. And we now have 5 kids, young people that we call kids in our spiritual family. And this year, we're so excited, we will have around 12, we're thinking, interns. So we'll see how that goes. but we're so excited to see what God does again this next year. So I wanted to just share with you guys a quick testimony. God did incredible things. He always does. But one of the coolest moments was in Costa Rica. I have little experience in Costa Rica. Darren has more than I do. But every time we go, it's amazing. And we were able to make a new connection this year with a new pastor. His name was Pastor David. And he's a pastor of connections. So Pastor David knows everybody and anybody. And nobody's a stranger. And it's a huge blessing, huge, huge talent that God has given him. And he, in his gift of connections, was speaking in an indigenous village in Costa Rica. And somehow the queen of that indigenous village was at the service, happened to walk in, and ended up getting saved at that event. It was phenomenal. So when we were able to travel down, he was like, you need to meet this woman. Because not only was she saved, but by the end of that week after talking with Pastor David, she could not get it out of her mind that I'm going to save my entire village. My entire village, who is a, they are a, it's like a quarter of the country. Their population is incredibly large. The span of land that they own is massive. And she has such a fire, such a heart for the Lord to see her people saved and serving God. And these are people that have a shamans. They serve witch doctors. And so it's a very, very spiritually oppressed culture. And so it's not an easy feat, but the amount of people that they've already seen come to the Lord because of her faithfulness and her devotion was incredible. So we actually got to go to this indigenous village to meet her and stay in her home. We had the whole setup. She let us sleep in her bed. Ezra came with us, and we had a mosquito net over our bed because it's the most indigenous place I've ever been. And so it's hot and humid, and you just cannot get away from the heat and the bugs. but one of the coolest, most incredible opportunities God has allowed us to be a part of. And then we got to travel to her mother's house, which was in the bush, in the middle of nowhere, literally. We had to travel across a river in a boat, across another river over like the tiniest bridge, which was the width of my 2 feet, and then climb up. Their houses, their indigenous houses that people still live in, are on stilts because of how wet the ground is. And it was incredible. And all with a baby strapped on me. And you know what? I was so nervous, let me tell you. The fear that entered my heart was enormous. And it's kind of a normal thing for a mom to be worried, right? It's this new life that you're in charge of. And being a missionary on the field is a whole nother level, right? And you open up a whole nother world of germs and sickness and just you name it. And so we went to a church service that morning before we left for the village. It was a 6-hour drive and then plus the journey to get to the houses. And I tell you, about 10 people came up to me and said, are you really bringing your baby to that village? Are you sure you're going to bring your baby? Are you bringing your baby? And I was like, yes. No, I don't know. Should I? I don't know. And I was like, God, maybe I shouldn't bring him. Maybe I should stay home. Maybe this isn't what God has. Like, I don't want him to get sick. I don't want anything to happen to him. And Darren said, no. The grace that God has given you to do your calling, God has also called him into. God has placed him in our lives on purpose, for a purpose. So the same grace that covers you covers him. And I was like, okay. And so we get in the car. He does awesome. We get to the village. Didn't like the heat, but he did awesome. The next day we wake up, and the queen's daughter had a baby. And she was there at the house with her baby. Now, this was like the chubbiest baby I've ever seen in my life. Like, I love chubby babies. But I'm like, oh, it's so cute. Like, how old is your baby? And she was like, he's 2 months. And I was like, what? When was your baby born? She was like, April 30th. I was like, no way. What time was your baby born? And they were born, Ezra and her baby, were born on the same day, only 2 hours apart. And the pastor looked at me and he said, this is not a coincidence that you are here today, that they are here today. This was ordained by God from the beginning. And they will meet each other again. And so the peace that came over me in that moment, I was like, okay, God, you're here. You got him. Nothing's going to happen to him. He's yours. He's yours. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt that he's going to do amazing things. Amazing, amazing things. Well, I'm going to pass it on. Prepare your hearts this morning because I know God has an incredible word for you to hear. So, thank you.
Thank you, baby. Thank you, Mariah. It really was an amazing summer. The things that we were blessed to be a part of, I mean, just mind-blowing moments, like that moment when you're sitting there with the blood-right queen of over a quarter of Costa Rica, and she's inviting you into her home and cooking for you. It was unreal, along with our interns, the multiple trips that we hosted. It was one of the craziest but the best summers of our entire life. I want to take it back just real quick to when we were here last. When we were here last, Mariah was pregnant, and she was up here with her belly about the size of mine. And we had an opportunity to speak with y'all and share some time. And I just want to say that when we came to that service in our home in Guatemala, we didn't have a fridge. We didn't have a stove. We didn't have a washing machine. We didn't have a bed. We didn't have a couch. We didn't have a table. And we're supposed to have a baby in 2 months. That's the place that we were in. And we came as guests to the service, and Pastor Ed just gave a short, you know, if you'd like to bless him, please do so. And I just want to thank you guys for that moment. You have no idea how big that service, that Sunday morning was for us. We received in just casual handshakes the largest offering that we have ever received as missionaries in our lifetime. So thank you. We went back to Guatemala and we bought a fridge that has a freezer in it on the whole left side. We went back and we bought a stove. We bought a washing machine. We bought a couch. We bought everything that we needed for Ezra. And it's because of you guys that we have him with us and we've been able to live and do what we've done the last couple months. Thank you guys so much for your investment, the way that you love us, the way that you care for us. I can't express my gratitude to you all. His very, the pain, to even have him born, we couldn't afford to have him born, but yet that very day when I went to pay, my phone dinged and said, here's the finances you need, and I was able to pay for his birth. Just miracle after miracle, and you guys were a massive part of that. Thank you. And so I pray that over the next couple minutes, I can put back into you guys a little bit maybe of the investment and the blessing that you have been to us. And if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and pull them out. As you're doing that, I'm just going to pray real quick, and then we'll jump into a few minutes of God's Word. God, thank you for this incredible morning, this opportunity to be here at Landmark once again with our family and friends, God. We pray that over the next few minutes, Lord, you would open up our eyes, our heart, our perspective to hear what you have to say this morning. In your name, amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull them out. We're going to jump first to Luke 10. I got three different areas that we're going to be in and not too much time, and so we'll jump through them relatively quickly. But if you want to grab your Bibles and head to Luke 10, 38 to 42. And this is the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus enters their home. I'm going to read through it and then share a little bit on it. Now it happened in verse 38. As they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving as she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And so we have this encounter, this moment where Jesus steps into the home, and I'm assuming a couple other people. And then there's Mary and Martha, two young ladies. Mary, who just sits at the feet of Jesus, eyes on him and listens. And Martha, who gets distracted. Oh, my dishes aren't clean. Let me go clean my dishes real quick. Hold on. Let me go vacuum the floor real quick. Hold, let me go prepare something for you guys to drink and for you to eat. And she starts serving Jesus in a way. But then she says, do you not care what Mary's doing? I'm doing this alone. Tell her to come and help me. And God says, no, Mary found the right thing, and that will not be taken away from her. If we jump then, we go a little bit back. Let's go to Mark 14, 3 to 9. Mark, one book ahead, 14, 3 to 9. I'm going to read this real quick. In verse 3, chapter 14, verse 3, the anointing at Bethany. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table. A woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. And then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But then there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was that fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. So now we have a second encounter where this lady saves up a whole year's wage. A whole year's wage is what this equated to. It's a large sum of money, financial value. And she takes this oil, she breaks it, and she pours it on the head of Jesus. She blesses him in that way. It's an expression of her heart. But then some of the disciples with her say, what are you doing? We could have sold that for so much money, and we could have done this much amazing things for the poor. What are you doing? And then God says, no, hold up. Hold up. What she's doing is fine. And so you have those two people in this story as well. The disciples who are complaining and saying, what are you doing? We could have used that. And God says, no, what she has done will serve as a memorial of who she is as she continues to live out that moment. So special, so incredible. And one more story, and then I'll tie these all together, I promise. If we go back a little bit more, just a few pages, to Mark 5. We'll be in this one a little more. Mark 5, 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around and said to the crowd, who has touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, you see the multitude of people thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And who looked around to see her? He had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And so this is the third story that ties into these. We have Jesus walking down the streets, crowd of people gathering around him, people rubbing up against him, shoulder to shoulder walking. I imagine the disciples as bodyguards just kind of around him, trying to protect him from all of these people. And then you have this one lady who has this issue, but she thinks to herself, if only I can touch his garment, I will be healed. And so she fights her way through the crowd, all of these people between her and Jesus. She gets all the way up to him, close enough to just touch his clothes. And boom, in that moment, the miracle happened inside of her. She felt herself healed. And then God said, somebody just touched me. And the disciples are like, everybody's touching you. What does that mean? You'll never know, because you're literally bumping into everybody. And he says, no, there was a moment where my power was released, and somebody touched me. And then she says, it was me that touched you. And he says, go and be healed. So what do these three things have in common? And as we go through them real quick, I want to point out a few things. If you wanted to write down a title for any reason, the title of this little sermon would be Missed by an Inch, Missed by a Mile. missed by an inch, missed by a mile. In these stories, we have two sets of people in every story. Mary and Martha, the lady with the oil, the disciples, the lady with the issue of bleeding, and the crowd. Two sets of people where in that moment, in that experience, in that encounter, one person got it and one person missed it. We have Mary who got it. She sat at the feet of Jesus and she was focused on him and she was connected to him. And then we had Martha who was distracted serving and was not connected in the same way. The same thing with the oil and the disciple. The same thing with the lady and the crowds. Even though everybody's touching Jesus, the one who touched him had a moment with him. And so I want to say to you guys, it is possible to be around Jesus, but not with him. You could be around God. You can be in his presence. He can be there. And you can still miss out on the power that he has. The crowds touching Jesus, everybody around him in his presence, but missing out on the power. And then one lady that touches him and the power was released and she experienced the miracle in her life. This summer, we were out ministering. We had our 5 interns, Mariah. We had 3 other local Guatemalan people on our team. There's amazing things happening. We're building this home. This house is going up. This lady's over here. And the family and the connections and the miracles. It was a beautiful moment. And somehow I missed it. I missed God in that moment. I was distracted. I was doing something else. And then I looked around and I was like, whoa, look at what God is doing. And I missed it. And so oftentimes in our lives, we can get into the rut. We can get into the day-to-day. I think everybody's experienced this in one time where we missed out on something that God had for us because we weren't in the right place. Even if God is around us, we're in his presence. Even here in church, you could come in, be in his presence, and leave without ever experiencing his power. Because of the position of our hearts. And so in these 3 stories, I want to pull out 3 things that we can do to get our hearts in the right position to be in the presence of God and experience his power. In the first story, Mary and Martha, I from that pull out that we need to have a focused heart. That our heart needs to be focused on the things of God. Martha distracted by the dishes, distracted by the cleaning, distracted by the preparation. Mary sitting as a child in front of him, focused on him. That is the first thing that our hearts need to be, is focused. In the second story, the perfume and the disciple, we learn that we need to have a heart of surrender. She has gathered up a whole year's worth of finances over the time, saving, just to buy oil for a one-time, boom, pour it on Jesus. But what does that mean? It's her. She made the sacrifice. She surrendered what she had to God. The disciples were confused. They're like, what are you doing? We could use that for 100 other people. He said, no, what's important was her connection with me in this moment. And so we need to have that heart of surrender. God, let your will be done, not mine. I want to live out your plans for your life, not mine. I want to be with you. I want to surrender. I want to die to self every day, those small decisions to get closer, to surrender to you, my heart, and live in a position of sacrifice so that you could be glorified in my life. And then in the last one, the lady with the issue of bleeding in the crowd, I think that we need to have an expectant heart. An expectant heart, that we are expecting great moves of God in our lives. That we are expecting. That young lady, with 100 people around Jesus, she had a heart. She was like, if only I could touch him. What is that? She's expecting that miracle. She's like, if I touch him, I will be healed. And she was expecting that. And so when she went up in that position with a great level of faith, and she said, I just need to touch him. And she did. Her heart was expecting a move. The other people bumping into Jesus, shoulder to shoulder, rubbing on him, but not expecting his power to flow in their lives. And so they didn't experience that same connection. And so we as a people, we as a person need to live our lives with our hearts in this position, that we would be focused on him every day, every morning, every moment that we have. We're focused on him, that our heart is in a position of surrender. We're surrendering our will unto his will and that we are expecting great moves of Him in our lives. And I believe in that position, when we're in there, when we're resting in that, I believe that we will, even in the dull moments of life, we will see the goodness of God be glorified. Even in the moments that are challenging and hard and sickness and in pain, and those challenging moments that come up, those mountains that we face, if our heart is in that position, we will see the goodness of God through those difficult times. And we will see great moves, great miracles happen in us and around us because our heart is focused on Him, is surrendered to His will, and is expecting Him to move and to speak to us in our day-to-day life. And so as we just close and as we pray, I hope I leave you with that as you go from here, you can take a little moment to look at your life and say, am I just living day to day? Am I just going through the motions? Am I missing opportunities because my heart's not in the right place? I'm not focused. I'm not surrendered. I'm not expecting even God to do something cool. And then hopefully, as we make that shift, come along one side another as a family, we will see God do amazing things.
I just had a feeling you were getting ready to pray, and so I wanted to jump up here. I think with a message like this, it requires that we respond. And this is a young man who knows what it is to respond on many, many different levels. And so Darren's going to pray for us in just a moment, but before he does, I want us to take a second, a quick one, and I want us to respond to this message today. This was a good word from this young man. This was a good word. And we don't owe it to Darren. We owe it to the power of the Word of God to respond to Jesus in this moment. I want you to take just about 15 or 20 seconds and bow your head. Have a very private moment. And pray on how you can respond to the message of the Word of God that Darren presented to us this morning. And here in just a second, Darren will lead us in a closing prayer. Ask God how you need to respond. I pray that you, whatever God is working in your heart in terms of responding to Him, whether it was the points of Darren's message or something else that the Lord was working inside of you, I pray that you would not just respond, but from this moment moving forward, that you would act on that response. Darren's going to close us out in prayer. I told him to take his liberty in doing that. When he's done, I'll come back and dismiss us together. But right now, as Darren prays, pray that God would give us the courage to not just respond, but to respond well. Amen. Let's pray together. Darren, lead us.
God, thank you for this moment, Lord, with you, Father, where we can search our hearts and we can search our soul and say, Lord, am I doing what you have called me to do? In this moment, if there is something in your heart and you would like to respond, just lift up your hands, stretch them out to God as we close. That, Lord, you would give us the heart that we need to fulfill the calling on our life, God. That we would know what it means to be in your presence and experience your power flowing in us, God. That the needs represented in this place, Lord, as they stretch out their hands, would signify the lady in this story where she reaches out and touches your garment, Lord. That we would reach out this morning, that our hearts would stretch out and we would say, God, if only I can touch you. If only I can touch you, and boom, I believe that you will see that miracle flowing in our lives, God. We pray that you would search our hearts, Lord, that we would be focused on you, that every morning when we wake up, Lord, we can recorrect. We can stop being distracted by the material things around us, by the finances around us, by the challenges, by the crowds, by the people, that we would stop comparing ourselves to other people, and that we would be focused in on you, God, that we would sit at your feet every morning, Lord, and that we would surrender ourselves to your will, Father, that your will would be done and not ours, God, that your plans would be fulfilled, that not ours, Jesus. And as we surrender, Lord, as we expect, as we focus in on you, God, we lift up our needs so that they can be met. We lift up our needs so that we can walk in peace, that we can go and that we can live out a testimony of who you are in our lives. God, I thank you for each person in here this morning. I pray that you would bless them in that way, God. That they would leave these doors with their head held high, with the peace in their heart, even if they're facing that great challenge. I pray that they would walk out of here with a peace that overpasses our understanding, a peace that we cannot understand, that we can go out and face those moments, that we could take advantage of those opportunities that you have placed in front of us, to reach this next generation one life at a time, to spread your word, to go out and impact and make a difference in this community, in our homes, in our places of work, to glorify you at the end of the day. In your name, we pray. As a family, we say, amen.
Amen. Can we thank Darren for that word this morning? For him and Mariah being with us. They're going to stick around for a while. They're going to be sharing in second service also. And in between that time, feel free to talk with them, visit with them. And we have an opportunity this morning to not only bless them with our love and our care and our encouragement, but to reach into those wallets, to reach into those pockets, to reach into the resource of our finances, and to bless them in that way. Also, I got tears in my eyes when Darren was thanking our family, our church, for how God met those needs the last time they were there. They've still got some of those needs when they go home. They're different, but there's needs there. And I'm convinced that our church is packed with generous people. And generosity has a lot of different values in terms of the dollars and the cents. But our church has a generous heart. And I want your generosity this morning to overflow out of our heart and to bless Darren and Mariah. In whatever way that you choose, in whatever way that God is leading you, I would like you to bless them today financially, encouragement, spiritually, all of those things. But if you have a financial gift today and you'd like to bless them, take it to Stacy in the resource at the resource table, and she'll be collecting that. We'll get it to them before they leave today. Maybe if you, throughout the week, you said, I didn't come prepared for this on Sunday, but I'm going to give it on Tithely, or I'm going to send it in the mail or drop it by the office. We want you to do that. We'll make sure that they get it. They're going to be around for a little while. But let's bless them this morning. Let's love on them today in a way that Landmark does. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Darren. Excellent word this morning. We're going to dismiss you now. Come say hi. But respond and act on the response that God prompted in you today. We love you. Thank you for coming to church. We're so glad that you did. You are dismissed this morning. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We love you lots, and we will hopefully see you next week, Lord willing.